begin by thanking Yedidei Nafshi, Tzuriel, and Lizzie, Shadow for opening up the home. And I want to thank also the children. It meant having to rush the Suda and to get ready and to make a hachanis. So I'll tell you that, you know, recently Tzuriel became our Reish Kohel. And there was a tenai that he made, a condition that he had to keep, and the condition was that it doesn't mean that he's going to lose this Mesibas Purim, this Febrangin. So, Baruch Hashem, we mekayim the tenai, we should desire to be together in your home in Yerushalayim.
Amen.
I'm asking to Chevron not to make like these calls out, these screams out, but it scares me a lot. Okay? No, I didn't ask Rabbi Chasson to be normal. I'm saying to act normal doesn't mean you have to be normal. I'm asking you to act normal. Don't you have to be normal. I'm so glad to hear that my old friend David is going to be singing with us, singing together with us. And I see David, you already know the Nagun.
Bootleg copy.
We'll give you an official one. You know, I'm waiting for around 35 years to be in a tzibur that we'll be singing these songs together. I'm waiting and davening for around 35 years to hear these nagunim, and there are many, many more. There are many more of these nagunim. We're just starting. There are many more. But you need some time. You need some time to learn them and to sing them over and over and to listen to them and to sing them with the children over and over. Chodrim amok, they reach a very, very deep place if you allow them to. A very deep place. So, you know, I'm going to begin with this. I'm such a hisaris from the Nagunim that let me just begin with telling you. David, I'll tell you a story. And everybody else can listen. I'm going to say, I'm not going to talk if I'm going to have to compete. It's hard for me. If there's every here that can't keep quiet, then they should leave. There was a tzaddik, Rabbi Yosef Talmashev was one of the big chassidim and talmidim of the Chaim Lublinsky Segalainen. He was a very poor person, and they lived in some Araiskevafendike place. I just saw this mice a little short time ago, and there was trying that there should be a minyan over there. He lived together, him and his daughter and son-in-law, his wife. And they couldn't get a minyan for Purim night. So, couldn't get a minyan. So they laid Megillah, and after the Kriyas Megillah, they were singing Shoshanas Yaakov. Three or four of them were there. They were singing Shoshanas Yaakov. And the son-in-law, something happened, the son-in-law went on the side, outside for a few minutes, and it turns out that the Poritz, the guy who owned that entire place, from whom they were renting, that the Poritz came down, and he told the son-in-law, he said to the son-in-law that said to the son-in-law that it's not possible for you to continue with this noise and bothering me. I'm trying to sleep. I can't go to sleep. You're making so much noise with this singing. I want you to stop right away. So the son-in-law went over to his father, Rabbi Yosef Tamashan.
No.
And he told him that the pirates were screaming and that we have to stop. I'm not going to be able to. I can't concentrate. I can't concentrate. I don't know.
Who's making the noise over here?
I'm sorry, Kindle. I'm sorry. Scott. So they stopped Shoshana Yaakov. They stopped. Can't bother the pirates. The pirates is the balabas. Okay. Anyway, the next morning, Rabbi Yosef Tamashava, you listening to him? Rabbi Yosef Tamashava went the next morning and he knocked on the door upstairs to apologize to the pirates that they were making noise, that they were singing and making noise. And the pirates, the guy was very, very polite. And he said, Rabbi, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. I heard a little bit and I enjoyed it so much. I don't know what you're talking about. And Rabbi Yosef Tamashava went down again and he spoke to someone and he said, last night, was it the pirates that came to talk to you? And he said he was the pirates that came. So Rabbi Yosef Tamashava said, it wasn't the pirates. It was Haman HaRasha that came in that lavush. It was Haman HaRasha who came. Haman HaRasha couldn't sleep because we were singing Shoshana Yaakov. Haman HaRasha had stared. Haman HaRasha. They were singing Shoshana Yaakov. So the tzaddik said that you see from here that when Jews get together and they sing Nigunim of Kedusha, that they sing Herzig and they mean it, that it stares Haman HaRasha. It's a kite, it's a thorn. It stares Haman HaRasha. That Haman HaRasha can't rest. He can't find peace because there are Jews who are singing Shoshana Yaakov in some place in the middle of nowhere. That's what it means to sing the Gunim of Kedusha. To give a shtach to Haman HaRasha and all the klipas and all the side of tumah when Jews come together and they sing the Gunim of Kedusha. So I want to share with you something that comes from a very, very high place, comes down all the way to us mamish in a very simple way, so that each and every one of us will be able to absorb this in the simplest and sweetest way, as Hashem. The highest place. Rabbi Isaac Kamar in the Schus Yelena. Rabbi Isaac Kamar in the Sedviki Baum. It doesn't even say such a word that he said that we received. Viki Baum nu. Shibimeha Purim. That during these days of Purim, that even a small little neshama, even a neshama that comes from a very, very, very simple place, by Purim, that even a neshama kitana, even a person who received a neshama that's very limited, is able to ascend to the heichel, to the place of a tzaddik mufla, of a wondrous tzaddik, Bli shum ma'akev. And nothing can get in the way of this little neshama. Bli shum ma'akev. And he wasn't finished with that. He was makabel. And ve'aveis, where the commander received this from, it must be that he took it like the tzaddikim spoke this way. Listen to what he said. V'chein oylen kol ha'tfilas. And all of the tefillahs ascend lekeser, to keser. I'm going to explain that on our level a little bit in a few minutes. And all of the tefillahs that Jews daven during these days of Purim, Shushan Purim, all of these tefillahs, even of a neshama ketana, who's now in the heichel of a tzaddik mufla, oylen kol ha'tefillahs lekeser bli shum ma'akev, bli shum ma'akev. And nothing can get in the way. Kol ze kibalti b'lechisha, he says. Kol ze kibalti b'lechisha, I received this in a whisper. I received this as a secret. Kol ze kibalti b'lechisha. In other words, the commander is saying, a bicycle is saying, that I was sworn to secrecy, not to reveal this. That even a neshama ketana goes up to a heichel of a tzaddik mufla, and all of the tefillahs of Jews during these days of Purim ascend to keser without any ma'akev. Kol ze kibalti b'lechisha. I received this as a secret. It was whispered to me. But he says, but what can I do? When I say, see, hoylech rochel. But I went and I blabbered to you. I was told not to give this over. But what can I do? When I say, see, hoylech rochel, may I have this Yisrael, because I'm on fire with my love for Jews. And who knows what danger he put himself in, by the way, by saying this. Because he was sworn not to say it. But he says, I went and I told it to you. Kibalti b'lechishev and I say si hoylech rochil, I gave this secret away. May I have this Yisrael, because of the burning fire of my love for you, I couldn't hold back. So the commander was saying that there's an aliyah of even a simple Jew, even a person on the neshama ketana, all the way to keser, the highest place. And that all of the tefillahs, without a ma'akev, go to keser. Now we know from the Sforim that the or, the light of Purim, is the light of Netzach, of the midah of the sphere of Netzach. Chuasam hayisa lo Netzach. V'sikvosam uchaldor v'ador. And Purim is the Ur of Netzach, which means that even though everything looks the other way, it looks mamish like it's not possible, but there's a koach of Nitzuach. There's a koach of Netzach to be Menatzeach, v'gam Netzach Yisrael Yishak, by the Haftarah by Zohar, to be Menatzeach without anything being able to ma'akiv us, to be in our way. That koach of overcoming of Nitzuah. And since it's Purim, and the commander said that even small neshamas, like from this time, are able to ascend to the heichel of a tzaddik mufla, so there was one tzaddik mufla, the Pella Elyon, of the end of time that the Bayolim sent into this world, who said the words, Nitzachti v'anatzeach, Gemarti v'egmar. There was one tzaddik who said such a thing, I was victorious, I was successful, Nitzachti, I was victorious, v'anatzeach, and I will be victorious. I won, and I will win. Gamarti ve'egmar. And I felt that the Bar Olam is telling us through the secret that was whispered to us, that was given over to us by the Kamarna, that even small people like us are being invited into the Heichel of that Pele, of that Ish Mufla, that Tzadik Mufla, of the Tzadik Adres of Rabbeinu, Rabbi Nachman Mi'uman. Natzachti v'anatzeh, gamarti ve'egma. And there is one particular story from the Sipurim Maaseiyos. There are many that speak about victory. But there's one that begins in such a way. In Yeshiva last year, I gave maybe 10, 15 shiurim on this story. I didn't finish. Lo gamarti, it means Hashem Egmar. The zvuv and the akavish, the fly and the spider, which is the story of Amalek, the akavish, Amalek, the spider, it's seeking to destroy Knesset Yisrael. And there, Rabbi Nachman begins the story, just in the English translation, he begins with the words. There was once a king who had been victorious in many wars. That's the beginning. There was once a king who had been victorious in many wars. And each year the king held a banquet to celebrate his great victories. And all the ministers were invited, and there were all kinds of entertainers and comedians. And the comedians performed a show, since they were imitating the customs of different nations. That's comedy, to impersonate. And they were impersonating, they were imitating the customs of different nations, including the Jews. And this led the king to be curious about these customs. And he ordered a book, a sefer, that they should bring him this book, like, that included the customs of all nations. It was like an encyclopedia that had all the different customs of different nations. And while reading this book, the king noticed a spider on one side of the book and a fly on the opposite side. And the spider crept slowly toward the fly, but each time it came within striking distance, a breeze lifted the page, preventing the spider from reaching the fly. This happened again and again, but each time a breeze lifted the page, causing the spider to fall back. But the spider didn't give up. Amalek. The spider didn't give up. And finally the breeze raised the page, and the spider slipped into the spine of the book and was trapped and crushed between two pages. In this way the fly was able to escape. The king observed this battle intently. The victorious king. He observed this battle between the spider and the fly intently and felt that there must be some kind of meaning in it. Meanwhile, the king grew tired and dozed off and began to dream, as in many of the Rebbe's stories. And the dream is a wondrous dream. In the dream, the king was being attacked. And he began to scream. Skipping, you look at the Maisa later on. And then in the king's dream, a great mountain came to him. The mountain said, "I've been sleeping for a long time, but your cries woke me. Why are you yelling?" In his dream, the king was yelling, was screaming. He was being attacked. And the king replied, "They were coming to kill me. Only this page protected me." And he showed the mountain crowds of enemies trying to attack him. And the mountain said, "If that is the page that defends you, you have nothing to fear. It is only this page that protects you, and it also defends me as well. It was Almighty with the mountain until finally, as soon as he opened his eyes, when the king woke up, as soon as he opened his eyes, the king looked to see what page had defended him. It's a strange thing. Before he fell asleep, there was this war between the spider and the fly. And every time the spider was creeping up on the fly, the page of the book came and pushed the spider away until finally it crushed it. And then in the dream, again, he was being attacked. And the page of the book was protecting him. And as soon as he opened his eyes, now the king opened his eyes. And the king looked to see what page had defended him. And it turned out that it was the page of the people of Israel. Remember, it's a book of all the peoples and their customs. And it turned out that it was the page of the people of Israel. He studied that page and made up in his mind to become a Jew. Without going into the protum that's Soide, Soides, Rosen, De Rosen, and many, 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 many days with and months and years, Bemis, to explain the whole Maisa. But the Rebbe is saying that the Soide of the Nitzachon against Amalek, the secret of Purim, and the Soide of Aaron Nitzachon, of being victorious, of being kings who are victorious, the Soide is the page of the customs of the people of Israel. That's what he's saying. Everybody has in the Megillah his favorite pasuk. Everybody has the pasuk that's mechazik him, that's ma'ir him, that wakes him up. But since I'm a little boy, my favorite pasuk has always been and continues to be Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan HaAviv, which is the pasuk of Geula, of redemption, which is the beginning of redemption. The beginning of redemption is Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan HaAviv. It was an Ish Yehudi. Means there's a mitzias in the world. A hafladikim mitzias. That's called an ish yehudi. A yid. An ish yehudi. And that this ish yehudi has the ability to be victorious in this world. And the Soide of the Nitzachon, Rabbeinu would say, is that the secret of the victory of the Ish Yehudi is the Daf HaSefer. And Rabbi Nachman, of course, is speaking about the pages of Torah that we learn, that's Aleph, of course. But remember that this book, this sefer, was a sefer of the nimusim, of the mannerisms of Jews, of the customs of the nations. That's what this book was. It wasn't the Daf Yomi. It wasn't the Rambam, and it wasn't Shulchan Aruch. It was a sefer of the nimusim of Am Yisrael. The customs of the Jewish people. The nimusim, the mannerisms of Jews. Not only the customs, but the mannerisms of Jews. How we do things. It means that besides our minhagim and the halachis, no, the anhagis, means the nimusim of Jews, even how we tell jokes and how we look at each other and how Jews move and make certain kinds of motions. That somehow this page contains within it the secret of being victorious in this world, so that no matter what you and I go through, even now, these last few minutes, that no matter what we go through, that at the end we're going to wake up from our sleep. That at the end we're going to wake up from the dream that we're having, and we're going to wake up from being asleep. This daf, this book, this page of the book, is the side of Ish Yehudi Haya B'Shushan Habi, or Ish Yehudi Haya the Woodmere for Akway or Brooklyn or London or Paris, an Ish Yehudi, in Tzvas, in Tveria, in Efrat, an Ish Yehudi. Shivchei Aran and Lamed Gimel. Because remember, we're trying to be in the Heichel of that Tzaddik, a little bit to be in the Heichel of that Tzaddik, of that Ish Pel, of Rabbi Nachman. Ulafamim hayinu shaymim mipiv HaKadosh. Sometimes, Rabbi Nosson says, sometimes we would hear from his holy mouth b'feirush sh'omar b'loshen ishtoikikus v'kisufin, that he would speak in a way of ishtoikikus, of great longing, and kisufman, and yearning and longing. And he would say this, Eich zoichin li ois Yehudi. How is one zoichin? Rabbi Nachman, you imagine, was saying, how could one be zoichin to be an Ish Yehudi? Eich zoichin li ois Yehudi. And Rabbi Nachman says, and Rabbi Nachman said this be'emes u'betmimus, with great tmimus, with innocence. We can't even imagine what it must have been like. Ki'ilu lo hischil adayin klal. Ki'ilu, he didn't even start. He hadn't even started being an Ish Yehudi. V'chein ha'yakam ha'pamim, we heard this from his holy mouth a number of times. And it's because of that great longing of the tzaddik, of the ishpela. It's because of that, the longing of that great tzaddik to be an Ish Yehudi, that we see the unbelievable love that he had for all the nimusim. Nobody spoke as much about the nimusim of Jews. Ad kedei kach, that they say that Rabbi Nachman used to sing all of the zmiras that were printed in the bench. Now you could ask Akash, who decided what zmiras are printed in the bench? And I don't know what they had printed back in those days in the bench. Rabbi Nachman has such an inyan. There's a custom, lamashal, that by breast of a chassidim, the real, real old time breast of a chassidim, that there's a hanhaga that they have, that they don't leave the towels and tefillin in shul in their place, on the table. They don't leave it in a cubby someplace. That they carry the towels and tefillin every day back and forth from shul. and the Chassidim say that where that began, such a hanhog. Rabbi Nachman had service in his life, and he was once speaking about after his son died. He was once speaking about the great longing that he had to bring a son, another child, into the world. And he said once these words. Listen to these words. Hayisim erutze she'eli ben. I would be so satisfied. Sufridim. I would be so satisfied. I would be so merutze to have a son to continue. Af shirak yelech lebeis haknesis ematal zutvil. Even if all that he knew how to do was to walk to shul with his talis and tefil. I'm not asking that he has to be a Vilna Gaon. I'm not asking he has to be a Noida B'Yehuda. I'm asking that he should be a Yid that walks to shul holding his talis and tefil. Ha'ikish Yeli Ben, just Rabbi Marshall, give me a child. And then he added, after he said that, Shvocher v'sivartel sheYehudi, the greatest shevach and the greatest beauty of a Jew, that when the Borei Olam looks down from Shammai, the greatest naches he has to see something that's beautiful in his world is not the Alps. It's not the French Riviera someplace. The shevach and the teferis of a Yid is lalechus the beis haknesis in malbushe hamelech biyodav. Is to walk the shul, and the Rebbe Shlom gave a Jew an ish Yehudi the schus to carry the royal garments in his hand. You know, the Shevet Halevi, the Tzadok Hashem Roche, was against the inyan that they made, that they started putting talis and tefillin on a thing that you wear on your shoulder. He wrote against it. And it was very, very hard for him to come up with something in halacha, like, you know, against it. But he had a chush v'yid, v'nish Yehud. And the Shevet Halevi felt, that Tzadik Rav Ozner felt, that felt epis, something was missing. In the nachasurach that the Bar Yodlam had, watching a Jew carrying his talis and tefillin. Because there's no question, Rabbi Sai, it should be clear that an Ish Yehudi means, of course, that a Jew has to have all of the she'ifas, all of the biggest she'ifas of Zem Moshe HaIsh, to be a Moshe Rabbeinu, to be the greatest Jew he could be, to be an Ish. Ish is the Yoshetevis Ein Shum Yesh. And there's no question that the she'if of a Jew has to be an Ish. To be a God v'rabba, to be a great person. To be a tzaddik, to be a Talmud Chochem, to try his hardest. Zeh Moshe HaIsh. Avol im kol hasagoysav. But with all that person knows, all the dapim that he knows of Gemara, and all the dapim that he knows of Rambam, of Torah, of Shulchan Aruch, even of Eitzes Chaim, of Eitz Chaim, and the Zohar Kodesh, and the Tikkuni Zohar, with all of those hasogas of an Ish, Rabbi Nachman is revealing in this story, and the story of his life and what he spoke about, that Tzadik Mufla. That in the Baruch Shalom's eyes, there's something unique. There's something special. There's something that has the ability more than anything else to preserve a Jew no matter what he's going through. That even though he's going through a time where he can't learn the Daf, or he's not able to learn the Rambam, or he doesn't understand
He doesn't understand what the Zohar Kodesh is talking about. And he doesn't have a moichin of godless. But he's a Yehudi. He's an Ish Yehudi, Ayyub B'Shushan Habir. And he carries his tals and tefillin. It means that he still keeps up with the daf of the Nimusim of a Jew. I went to visit my father's Ogazun time before. My father wasn't able to get to shul last night. He wasn't feeling strong enough. And if he wasn't feeling strong enough, it meant that he was very, very, very weak. Because it's very hard, if anybody that would know him, it's very hard to keep him away from shul. It's much easier to keep us away from shul. But he couldn't go. And we all had begged him before Yom Tov not to go. Please not to go. So one of the Yeinikolach came to Lane Megillah. So I went to visit my parents before. And I said, Daddy, so how did it go with Megillah Lane? My father said, I wanted very much to go to shul. You know that I wanted to go to shul, but everybody made such an Indian. I couldn't go. So I said, so, but it was good. You enjoyed it. Avram Tzvi was laying. You enjoyed the Megillah line. So he said, you know, it was taka good. He said, I was able to clap Haman. All by myself, I clapped Haman. That's what he said. And the way he said, I can't put into words the way that he smiled and he looked at me and he started to go like this. And he said, Haman, clap Nachamal, Haman, Nachamal. And then he started to get, Nachamal, 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 Haman. That's what he said. And I was thinking, who in the world has these nimusim like this? There are very few people that are left like this, you know. And I can't imitate the nimusim of a Jew like that. The nimusim. And I believe that in Shemayim, that when he was saying the words with such pashtus, that there was such a mechias amolik, when he was saying it with such pashtus, that I had a tanug, that I was able to give myself a clap like this to Haman. A clap, a nochamal, a clap, a nochamal. You know, he knew Haman personally, you know. Anocha klap, anocha klap, anocha klap, he said. He said, that I enjoyed that part. The nitzach and the victory of the daf, of the nimusim of what it means. Where Ibn Achman says in Torah Lamed that there's a seichel tachto in a chochma tato that comes from the seichel elyon, from chochma ilah, that even the simplest customs of Jews, the nimusim of Jews that were written in this page in the book, that were saving the life of the king, so that the king was able to wake up, and the king was able to be victorious in this world, was that even though he went through the hardest battles, and even though the spider was trying to destroy him, Amalek, he was able to hold on being a Jew, not from all that he knew, not from all of his sichlius, not from how smart he was, but from the nimusim of an Ish Yehudi Hoya B'Shushan Habir. So now we can understand and listen. I'll try to not to come to be Messiah. I always try to be in the area of 10 o'clock for now. I will be maybe 5 minutes later. It's Mechila. So remember the first thing we were talking about was that the Heliger commander gave away a secret to us. He was Megala Said, and it could be that Chalila, he went through suffering because of that. But he said that because of his Ahavas Yisrael, he said that he received such a thing that even in the Shomikit, again, Kibalu Shibimei Purim, Yuchalalus Neshomik Etan Lahechel Shotzadik Muflim Lishum Ma'ake, Vechen Oilim Kol Atfilus Lekeser Lishum Ma'ake, Kolze Kibalti Bilachish. So we spoke about the inyan of Netzach and the side of Nitzuach to be Menatzeach, the Daf HaSeifer, to be an Ish Yehudi, that no matter what you're going through, you pick up your towels and tefillin and you go to shul. No matter what happened before, that night, whatever it is, you take your towels and tefillin and you go to shul. You take out the daf yomi and you learn the blad gemara. You don't allow yourself to fall into the bilbulim of the spider who's creeping up and trying to rip you away from the page of the nimusim that's saving your life and my life every minute by holding on to Ish Yehudi, being an Ish Yehudi. You wash Negel Vasa first thing in the morning. Achamoida'ani, after Madani, send the Negel Vasa and Moida'ani, and you do the things that Jews do. And that's the koyach of Netzach, of Nitzuach, of the victorious king. That somehow, with everything that we're going through, that if we hold on to the page of the book, that somehow through that we're going to be able to finally be awakened from the dream of Golus, like the king. That all of his enemies were crushed, and that he awakened from the dream. So where's the Midah of Keser? So Chefer, listen, because there's obviously a very big Indian, and it's just Lefi Al Madrega to talk about it for a minute. The Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh Shchus Eileinu revealed a very deep side. And he said that the side of Purim, the deepest secret of what Purim is that Purim is Keser Kol Haksar. Here, Keser Kol Haksar is the crown of all crowns. Keser Kol Haksar. Not just Keser. Keser Kol Haksar. What does that mean? So let's go again for a minute to his great-grandson, Rabbi Nachman, because we're trying to have this schus a little bit to be in his heichal. Somebody once asked Rabbi Nachman. There was a tzibur and they asked Rabbi Nachman, "Eich zoichim liyos Yehudi kosha?" Now they were asking the Rabbi, "How is one zoichim to be a kosher yid, a Yehudi kosher, an ish Yehudi?" And Rabbi Nachman said one word, and that word began a movement that brings us to Mashiach Zakei. There was a political party in Eretz Yisrael. There was a big Erlich Yid that was very controversial. And many years ago, before he was killed by Yishmaeli, he began a party that was called, you remember the name of the party? Kach. So Rabbi Nachman said, when he was asked this question, "Eich zoichim Rabbi," they asked him, "Eich zoichim liyos Yehudi kosher?" And Rabbi Nachman answered with one word. He said, "What? Kach." That's the beginning of Kach. Long before there was ever a party, Rabbi Nachman said Kach, and the Chassidim were arguing. There were two pshatim that they came up with. If the Rabbi Nachman said kach, he wouldn't say anything else. He just said, kach. Kach. So there were two perushim in kach. The first pshat is what we were talking about until now, which is the midah of Netzach. That when Rabbi Nachman said kach, he was saying, kach hazoi. And kach means, you take a thousand tefillin. And kach means, no, it's not fancy. To be Yehudi kosher and Ish Yehudi doesn't mean you have to be a Kabbalist or you have to be a Lamdin. Kach! In other words, we get Davin and Lenin and you sing a Niggin and you make a L'chaim and you have a Tikkun after Davening a little bit and you live like a Jew. Kach! Azoy. That was the first pshat. That's the Midah of Netzach. Kach! The second pshat is Keser. The second pshat that the Chassidim said was that Rabbeinu was saying, after this Jew asked, Rabbi, how is one zoich to be a Yid? An Ish Yehudi. That when Rabbi Nachman said, Kach, He was saying, Kach! By asking every day of your life, Rabbi Shalom, how can I be zayche to be a yid? Kach! Ask that question. Don't ask me that question. Ask the Bar Yoilim, ask yourself that question every day of your life. With gagum, with longing. Not just on Purim. But mochel kedas hayayim. With gagum. Like Rabbi Nachman was talking about it. With gagum, with kisufim. To ask that question, you and I would ask that question every day. So that our children will learn to ask themselves that question. So that no matter what they're going through in this crazy world that we're in, they're going to ask themselves the question, what can I do to be zayche, to be an Ish Yehudi? To have that schus to be an Ish Yehudi, a Yid. And here's what the Baal Shem Tov said, that the Soid of Purim is what? Kacha, Kesa Kolak Sarim, is the word Kacha, Kacha Kach, Kesa Kolak Sarim, because it says in Pasuk, Kacha Yaseh Leish. Asher HaMelech Chofetz Biyikar. Kacha Yaseh Leish. Haman thought it was him, right? Haman thought that he had a Metzias Chaim. The Rasha thought it was him. But the one who was really to wear the royal garments of Talis and Tefillin, Tchelis Mordechai, the one who was really Metzias Chaim Ben Hashem, is the Ish Yehudi. And Kocha Yeyosel Isha Shemelech Chafetz Biyikara. You and I ever stop to think of those words. Mishamelech Chafetz Biyikara. Kocha Kesa Kolaksar Yeyosel Ish. That the Baruch Shalom says about a Jew. A Jew asks himself, me? Why would the Baruch Shalom, why would the Baruch Shalom be Chafetz Biyikara? Why would the Baruch Shalom have such a great, unbelievable, infinite love that even our harm yamushu, v'agros yimutena, the mountains will crumble and the hillsides will fade away. But my love for you doesn't mean just for the Jewish people; it means for you will never end, will not end. And a person asks himself, but why? 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 And the Baruch Shalom says, kacha. You're asking me a kasha. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, kacha, kese kolak sarim. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, kacha yeyos elish, asher melech chofetz biyikaro. You know, I'm not going to explain it to you. It's something that's called kese kolak sarim. It comes from the highest place. That when you try to say kriyish melamita, when you try to make a bracha, when you try to look away from something you shouldn't be looking at, when you try to pull yourself to daven a little bit, to learn a few words, that when you're doing that, even though your whole, everything in your life is pulling you away from that, and you say, kacha, because I'm an Ish Yehudi, kach, kach, this is how I live. I'm an Ish Yehudi, I'm a Yid. And I'm asking myself, how can I be zayich to be a kosher yid? Rabbi Shalom, help me keep this. So when we live that way, the Rabbi Shalom says, "Kacha yeyos elish, asher melech chafetz biyikar." The same way you can't explain what gets you up to be a Jew after everything you've been through, and you still want to be a Jew. How do you explain a Jew that has numbers on his arm, on her arm, and she still wants to be a Jew? So to such a person, Baruch Hashem, it's kach yael shalish, and it's not just by them. Kesa kol aksarim is the union of ad loyada, ben aharam lebarach, morach ad loyada, it's a madrega al yoyna of kesa. When a Jew understands, when a Jew believes in that, in the side of Kesa Kolak Sarim of Kacha Yayos Elish Asher Melech Chafetz Biyikaro, that when the Baruch Shalom sees us, even though we might be half asleep and we don't remember if I'm putting on Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam, and I don't remember whether or not I said this parsha of Kirishma, I said the other parsha of Kirishma, I don't remember, but somehow here I am again, Baruch Shalom, here I am again, I'm putting it on. And I'm yawning while I'm putting it in. I don't remember where I'm holding it, and the shalroish is touching my ear. And I don't know what I'm doing. And the Baruch Shem looks and says, ah, why do you still do this? And then the Yid says, kach ani osa. Ani yudi, ma ani asa. And Eloah says, kacha. So Baruch Shem says, azoi. Oy vazoi. Kacha, kacha ye osa lisha shamelech chofetz biyakaru. Kacha ye osa lisha melech chofetz biyakaru. He's still holding on to the daf. You still believe in the daf. You still believe in the nemusim of a Jew. You're still trying to hold on to the talis and tefillin. But the emes is, that even a person who let go of his talis and tefillin a long time ago, but he's still trying to hold on to his payas, you know, to the edge, and to try to still remember somehow, some way, and somehow, I'm still a Jew. He's an ish Yehudi. Hashemelech chofetz biyakaru. And there's so much more I want to talk to you about this. So much more. And I already kept you for so late, and I'm sorry. So let me end with a ma'isa. One of the nimusim of the Jewish people, one of the customs that we've had over the years, and it was a very big inyan by tzaddikim, is that there would be a Purim Rav, you know. Oftentimes it was one of the simplest Jews in the town, and they would dress him up like a tzaddik, like a big rabbi, and he would be like the... And then there were other inyanim that we saw by tzaddikim on Purim that were very, very, very strange and different from the whole year. So once happened by the Sar Sholem, Schusik Leine from Bells. That there was a Yid that came to the Sar Sholem's Tish on Purim. And he was dressed up like the Tsar of Russia. He was wearing such a malbush, like the Tsar. And the Eidlum was Mesameach, having a good time. And this guy, when he came in dressed like the Tsar, the Sar Sholem stood up for him. He was from the Pshutim in Bells. Not from the Yoishim, they called in Bells. He was from the Pshutim in Bells. And when he came in, so the Sar Sholem stood up for him. And the Sar Sholem brought him to sit next to him. He sat next to him. And the Sar Sholem started to talk to him in a very respectful way. And he said the way you would speak to a king. And he said, Your Majesty, he started to speak about certain inyanim that needed to be fixed in town. So we're having a problem, the bridge is old. And it's very difficult for the elderly here to walk over there in that place. And if Your Majesty wouldn't mind to make an assessment and to send some money and some people to fix the bridge over here by Bells. And this guy, this czar, this Ish Poshet, this Ish Yehudi, so he nods his head, get. And the Bells Rebbe said, Shkoyach, 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 Shkoyach. And afterwards, there were a few other things like that. And afterwards, after Pur, all of these things were fixed. All the things that he mentioned, all of them were fixed. And he said some other things. And he said once, Your Majesty, if you're here already, with your mind, you know how, there's also a nimus of a yid that you take more, right? So he said, no, Your Majesty, if you're here already, then we need a doctor to come here. You know, we don't have doctors, and we really need more doctors over here. And the people, and the yid goes, no. So he says, Shkoyach, 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 Shkoyach. And then there are a couple of other items, and the Bells Rebbe is saying, with years are covered mamish, to this guy. And then finally, and each time the Yid goes, he's masking. So all these things were taki fixed. And then the Sar Sholem was saving for the best one. And he said, V'im halamalach toiv.
Navshi b'sheilosi v'ami b'bekashosi. Imal ha-melech toiv. He asked, Your Majesty, there's a terrible gzeira that Jewish boys are being taken from their families for consignment to be in the army, right? You know, there was a terrible gzeira. They were taken away for 25 years. Finished. So, Your Majesty, I know it's a lot to ask for, but I'm asking that you be mevatel this terrible gzeira, this decree. I'm asking that you be mevatel this decree. And he sat there, this yid, and he just was staring out into space. And the Sar Sholem said again, Your Majesty, I'm begging you to be mevatel the gzeira of the army. And he's just looking like this. And the Belzer Rebbe started to cry. I'm begging you, Your Majesty, to please, this is the most terrible decree. I'm begging you, you could do this, to annul the decree. And then Chassidim start to go over to him. And he's just looking, he's not opening his mouth, he's just staring. And Chassidim start to go over to him, and they whisper this, yeah, what, are you out of your mind? Just say yes. Okay, it's, you know, just answer what the Rebbe's telling you to. And he didn't move. He's just looking like this. And somebody started to pull at him and said to him, Zuk, Zuk. And he just sat there. And the Rebbe said, Sar Shalom says, No. And then the Rebbe was very tzibrachin after that. And they benched and he left. So you can imagine how this poor guy was attacked afterwards. So after the whole thing was finished, everybody came around him and said, What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you? Why didn't you answer the Rebbe? What are you sitting there like that? And he looked at them and he said, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't hear that last question. I heard the other questions. I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't hear that question at all. Listen, Chevra. No, Psha. What happened that night in Bells, we don't understand. That day in Bells, we don't understand. How it came to be such a thing that this Yid was somehow mislabesh as the Tzar. That for that moment, the Rosh Hashanah gave him such koiches of keser kol aksarim to wear the crown of all crowns. And to be mevatel such a gzeir. What happened that day speaks to me and speaks to us now and says a very simple thing. That an Ish Yehudi, a Pashat the Yid, is not so Pashat. That what you and I see ourselves as being so simple, so Pashat, it's not so Pashat. And Kocha Yeyosha Lish Hashem Melech Chafetz B'Yikaro, that if you and I would know that with every word, with every nimus, with everything in our lives that we try to do the right way, to stay away from the wrong way, that we try to be zoich, to be Yehudim Ksheirim, that mamish, kacha yehosu liish asher melech chafetz biyikar. And the nitzach that you and I have in this world to be victorious means, the aleph of that nitzach means, to believe be'emunah shleima, that the Bar Olam gives us that strength and looks at us in that way, that we should be able to hear, that we should be able to hear the question when we're asked, and to be able to answer the question when asked. So that ultimately the time will come that the victory will be complete. And that all of us together will be zeicher to be together on that day of, then it will be revealed. Shuasam ha'yisal ha'nesach, v'sikvasam b'chol dar v'dar, v'degulah shev ha'mitis, mehem yameinu amein.
Amen.